Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our radio ministry on this fifth Sunday in Lent. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We pray that this season of Lent has been a time of spiritual awareness. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
No one wishes to die. No one wishes to die at 33 years of age. And certainly no one wishes to die on a cross. Yet Jesus Christ endured all of that in order that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. That's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of this Lenten season, open our eyes to have a better appreciation of the payment that had to be made in order that we might be restored into fellowship with God by granting us the forgiveness of our sin. Lord, help us to consider the cost, that it was not just something that you did with great ease, but one where you had to struggle in your own person, one where you were torn apart often, wondering what was the will of God, one where God came and granted you the power and the strength in order that you might carry on the work that you had been sent to do. So open your word to us, and grant again, O God, that we may be drawn closer to you, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 12th chapter according to the Gospel of St. John, verses 27 and on. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and will glorify it again. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, isn't it strange that a comment spoken yesterday is often forgotten, but one that is spoken 25 years ago remains very fresh in our mind? I recall a conversation many years ago when, as a board member, I was asked to be at a particular special meeting where a big decision was going to be made that could involve thousands of dollars. I told the people on the board that I could not be there that evening. There was almost a plea, "Can't you adjust your calendar? You see how important this meeting is." I didn't think it was quite that important. I thought it could be held at another time. For it happened to be on a Wednesday night, and that is the time that many of the churches in our town had scheduled Lenten services. So I said, "No, I can't. I will be at the Lenten service at our church." And I did not want to be overly pious, but I wanted them to know that I felt that this was an important part of our community living to center our thoughts in the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I resented, I guess, that they were scheduling a meeting at that particular hour on that particular night. It could have been an hour later, and all would have been well, but it had to be at that time. So one of my friends on the board said, "Well, I imagine that you're preaching." And I said, "No, I'm not preaching on this particular Wednesday night. My wife and I are going to worship there together." This evidently irked some of the men there. And so the next question was, "What is this Lenten season all about, anyway?" I don't recall how I answered. But today I would have said, it is this special time in the year when we consider the cost Christ paid that our sins might be forgiven. And I can well imagine that someone would have said, doesn't this need to be before us every day of the year and not just on that one particular night? And I hope I would say, of course. But it doesn't hurt the people of God to assemble in their churches to give special attention to this Lenten theme. We are being prepared to celebrate Easter, the time Christ rose, and the assurance that we had that in that resurrection there was victory over sin, death, and the devil. What is this Lenten season all about? The answer to that is very simple. One part of it, at least, is that it's a time of the year when you and I consider in a very special way the cost of our salvation. And that's what I'd like to visit with you about briefly this morning in the sermon. And a tremendous cost it was. Our text today shows Jesus struggling in his battle with death. Here we see his human longing to evade the cross. You know, it is so true that Jesus Christ is true God, but it is also true that Jesus Christ is true man. And when he had to suffer, and when he had to die, he had some of the same feelings you can be sure that we had, and even more so in his death, for it was not only his own death, but he carried with him to the cross the sins of the whole world. William Barclay, commenting on this portion of God's Word, has put it so well. Quote, no one wishes to die. No one wishes to die at 33. No one wishes to die on a cross. There would have been no virtue in Jesus' obedience to God at all if it had come easily and without cost. Real courage does not mean not being afraid. There is no virtue in doing a thing if to do it is an easy thing. Real courage means to be terribly afraid, and yet to do the thing that ought to be done. This was the courage of Jesus. Listen to him. He says in our text, "Now my heart is troubled." He was torn apart. He was confronted with a tremendous decision. He was toying around with this, I was sent to die and for the hour, and the hour is here. What shall I do? Shall I say, save me, Father, from this hour? Or to put it in the language that you and I best understand, Father, will you scratch your plans? I don't think I want to go through with this death. My 3 years of ministry have been very difficult as I have seen the slanderous remarks and people's hatred towards your will. I don't know if I want to go any further. Maybe I want to just jump off the wagon right now. Save me, Father, from this hour. And then after Satan has done his work in trying to tempt him at that last hour, the Spirit of God is there and he cries out, no, it was for this reason that I came to this hour. That's why you sent me, Father. It was your plan of redemption that was started way back in the Garden of Eden when men fell out of relationship with you, and this is a way that you have chosen to bring them back. And that was his struggle with death. You know, friend, doesn't that say something to us? For every single one of us, sooner or later, will have to face that hour when we lie upon our deathbed. And to have a Savior who has been at that same hour, to sit beside our bed and speak to us through his word, and say to us, because he has been there, because he has experienced it, I know what you're going through. It doesn't mean that when we get on the other side, it will not be much more glorious. It doesn't mean that we have doubts about where we're going. It's just that event. And if I should speak to some of you today, and I believe that probably I do, who realizes that death is not far away, then just remember that you have a Savior who went through the same torturous hours that perhaps you are going through, and he knows what it is all about. At the present time, I have two very close friends, one in his 40s with three small children, the other in his 50s with two children that are now grown and they have just become educated, and he and his wife can relax and do a little traveling. They have both been diagnosed with very, very serious cancers. Not easy. Oh, they have preached about death. They understand. They are assured that when death has come to them, they will be at home with God. But it is not easy now. Consider the cost. Can we take Christ's death lightly? Can we reduce his mission on earth to something less than paying the price for our sins? Can we demote him to the lower office of teacher and moral example? I don't think so. I don't think that's possible if Jesus Christ means anything to us at all. As we see his struggles, so we also have our struggles too, right around his suffering and death. And that seems to come into the light in a very special way during the Lenten season. As we consider the struggle that Christ went through to atone for our sin, does it ever cause you to struggle with the question, how can this all be? Maybe some of you who are yet not quite firm in your faith are asking the question, how could one who died 2,000 years ago atone for my sins in this year 2000? And you struggle with that. Couldn't there be a better answer, you might say? Couldn't I rather atone for my own sin and finally, after I've done enough good, find my way into the kingdom of heaven? No. You can't even make a contribution to it. For God, way back there in the days of Eden, decided that this was his plan of salvation, that he would send his Son, and that Son would atone for our sins, and by grace, through faith in that Son, you and I could have the complete forgiveness of our sins, stand before God as righteous and clean, and inherit the kingdom of heaven forever. That is, my friend, the gospel. So if you struggle for a rational answer, you will not get it. The answer comes when, by grace through faith, you trust what God has said to you in his word, that your salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, who at the cross of Calvary died for your sin. Maybe you struggle with this idea of the seriousness of sin. We do a good job in our society trying to deal with sin in a superficial way. We laugh about our sins. We wink at it. We rationalize them. We get angered when someone reminds us that what we are doing is contrary to the law of God and therefore sin. The other day, I was listening to one of the morning programs on our television, and here the person conducting an interview with a person out of Hollywood was congratulating this man on his prestigious career in the movie industry. And then after that was over, the interviewer went on to say, and I want to congratulate you in your private life too. I understand that you have a fiance and that the wedding bells will be ringing in the coming future. To which he replied, yes, and besides that, we have a child on the way. And the interviewer was so elated about this and went on and on and on. Now, here is a person who has a child on the way, and the marriage has not yet taken place. That, my friend, is sin. It can be forgiven. Christ died for that sin too. I want to hurry on to say it can be forgiven. That's the gospel. But simply because it can be forgiven does not mean that we condone it. And yet, here is one of the early morning programs treating adultery just as if it is a normal way of life and saying, well, we are so happy for you. You see, that's the way we sometimes struggle with sin. It was that sin that sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross at Calvary. And without that death, there would be no forgiveness of sin. Maybe some of you struggle with the fact that sin has not really been conquered in the lives of some of your family and friends. They continue to live in that sin. They have no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. They just walk on their merry old way. Christ had trouble with that too. Remember, he sat on the Mount of Olives looking out over the city of Jerusalem. And what was it that he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would love to have gathered you under my wings like a hen gathers her chicks? But you would not. How many a mother and father, a child for the parent or whoever it may be, has not said, O mom and dad, O my son or daughter, how I would love to have gathered you to the Lord Jesus. And there you could have seen what it was to walk in a relationship with him and to know that your sins were forgiven and that he was going to be with you throughout your life. But you would not. Yeah, the struggles are there. Lent is a time of struggling. And that's why when that Easter Sunday morning comes and Jesus has been raised from the dead, it is then we cry out, thanks be to God. There is victory over sin, death, and the devil. But to get the full impact of Easter, we have to walk through the struggles of Lent. This is the core of the Christian message. It determines our eternal destiny. And that's why I said 25 years ago, and I pray to God I would say it today, it is more important for me to spend that 1 hour with the people of God in his house, considering the cost of my redemption, than it is sitting at a board meeting, even if it does involve thousands of dollars. Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray that in this Lenten season, we may stand beneath your cross, and there we may look into your everlasting love and see how much you gave for us. Grant, O God, that we may continually turn to you, that our faith may be deepened, and that we may realize, Lord Jesus, that in you alone do we have our salvation. And now may the grace of God, the peace which passes all understanding, and the fellowship of that Holy Spirit keep our hearts and minds in you. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write or call our office and tell us what station you listen to. We would like to know a little about you also. As part of our listening family, you are important to us. All listeners who respond will be sent a booklet of biblical passages titled God's Promises to You. This booklet offers words of comfort and encouragement. Please write this week to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or you can call our toll-free number, 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484, Monday through Friday. You may also leave a message for us at any time. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help defray mailing and production costs. Once more, our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. And again, our toll-free phone number, 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo, Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.